Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Symbol of Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Bienvenidos otra vez aquí en la Iglesia Bautista de Simple Fe, donde la Biblia nos cambia. Nosotros no cambiamos la Biblia. We're going to continue in our study of the Sure Foundation book. I hope you have the green book there with you as well. Bienvenido a nuestro servicio de escuela dominical. Actualmente estamos estudiando un libro escrito por mi pastor de la escuela bíblica llamado Un Fundamento Seguro. The Sunday school book that we're studying together is called A Sure Foundation. It's a green book. Nos ayuda en nuestros estudios de diferentes temas de la Biblia y las preguntas que la gente podría tener para nosotros como cristianos. Estos libros de estudio no deben reemplazar su lectura personal de la Biblia, sino simplemente ayudarnos en nuestro estudio de la misma. So as you guys know, when we study these great commentaries and helps from great men of God, they do not replace our personal Bible study. Amen. So they're just there to supplement. They're just there to help us in our understanding. But you always want to study your own Bible privately all the time. Okay, so we're on page 95, página 95. Unfortunately, we don't have it in Spanish. Desafortunadamente, no tenemos este libro en español. But I'm going to do my best to translate so that way our friend can receive edification. Voy a hacer lo mejor que puedo a traducir para que también pueda recibir edificación en nuestro mensaje hoy. Okay, so now today's topic here we're going to have is called The Word of God, Part 1. Este capítulo se llama La Palabra de Dios, Parte Número Uno. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the saints that made it here on time, Lord, for the Sunday school. I pray now your Holy Spirit would please prepare our hearts now to receive the Word of God and what it is you have in store for us. We look forward to our upcoming church service, and we look forward to new visitors coming. Lord, prepare our hearts to be ready to greet them in the love and name of Jesus, your Son. We thank you for this time now. Please fellowship with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, page 95 in the green book. If you don't have the green book, would you please open up your Bibles to John chapter 3. Si tienes tu Biblia, por favor, lo puedes abrir al libro de Juan, capítulo 3. Y si tienes esta Biblia, mira el color que tengo yo. Página 1446 para ayudarle, okay, Shadow? So tenemos la misma Biblia. All right, here we have it, John chapter 3, if you don't have the green book. And let's go ahead and get started with our Sunday school hour. For those of our friends coming in, we're on the Sure Foundation. We are on page 95. And if it gets a little spiritual, our friends next door are having a good time, amen? So that's all good, amen. All right, so here we have it. Let me just go ahead and I'll just turn up a little bit the volume here in-house. There we go. All right. So the Old and New Testaments stand and fall together as the Word of God. By the way, for those of you coming in, we're in the Sure Foundation, Green Book, page 95. Today's topic, the Word of God, part 1. Okay, so the Old and New Testaments stand and fall together as the Word of God. Los dos partes de la Biblia, el Testamento Antiguo y el Nuevo Testamento, los dos son parte de lo mismo tema de la revelación de Dios que nos dio. Entonces necesitamos leer los dos juntos. No debemos de separar el Testamento Antiguo solamente porque no es parte del Nuevo Testamento. Necesitamos leer los dos juntamente porque el Nuevo Testamento cumple todas las profecías que Dios dio en el Testamento Antiguo. So when you read your Bible, you cannot separate the Old Testament from the New Church. You have to read it as accompanying together or in harmony together because the New Testament, what does it do? It fulfills the Old Testament prophecies. So don't forget that. That's going to be important for you to understand. Thus, if we succeed in proving that the Old Testament is the Word of God, our task is complete. Jesus and the apostles had and read and used the Old Testament just as we have it now. Jesus' testimony regarding the scriptures is of the greatest importance, especially his testimony after his resurrection, which we will consider in this chapter. El Señor Jesucristo, cuando él vino la primera vez en carne, él testificó de la autoridad de la Biblia, del Testamento Antiguo. Entonces, cuando él fue a las sinagogas y predicó o enseñó, cuando abrió cualquier parte de la Biblia, él lo enseñó como era la autoridad y la palabra perfecta de Dios. No había ningún problema o corrupción con los manuscritos, porque hay muchos que critican cristianos porque dicen que los manuscritos tienen errores y muchas cosas, problemas con la Biblia. Pero nosotros creemos que Dios guardó su palabra después cuando lo inspiró por las profetas de los tiempos antes. So when Jesus would preach in a synagogue, we believe that he quoted them as they very were, the word of God, without error. There are a lot of critics of the Bible that want to teach that the Bible has been corrupted over time, and the scriptures that Jesus had at his very day, he taught them as they were, the word of God, authoritative. Amen. So just know that we as Christians believe that God has the power for the preservation after he inspired the original authors. Those original authors were inspired Christians by the Spirit of God, faithfully preserved the original inspired words throughout time. So that's number one. Okay, so number one, Jesus Christ the Lord quoted freely from the Bible as the Word of God, and from those very books that have been most questioned, I will give you several examples of this. Let's go to John chapter 3. Vamos al libro de Juan capítulo 3. Vamos a leer unos ejemplos en cuando Jesucristo enseñó o hizo referencia de un parte de la Biblia en el libro de Génesis o varios libros del Testamento Antiguo para verificar y también afirmar, is that how you say affirm, la palabra de Dios. So let's go to John chapter 3 and we're going to read together starting in verse number 14 and 15. If you have your green book, we're on page 95. Okay. The Bible says here in John 3, verse 14 through 15, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Vamos a leerlo en español, Juan 3, 14 al 15. "Y como Moisés levantó la serpiente en el desierto, así también es menester que el Hijo del Hombre sea levantado, para que todo aquel que en él cree, no perezca, mas tenga vida eterna." So, in the book of Numbers, which has been attacked by scholars and critics of the Bible who claim that it is not true, we have the record of the time the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. Because of their sin and rebellion, God sent fiery serpents among them that bit many of the people. As a result, multitudes of people were dropping dead in the desert. Cuando recuerdas en el libro de Números, en el Testamento Antiguo, cuando el Señor ayudó al pueblo de Israel a escapar de Egipto en camino a la tierra promesada a Abraham, los judíos, los hebreos, muchas veces fueron rebeldes contra las leyes de Dios y el Señor mataba mucho de ellos por sus pecados, por los que no creyeran por fe en él y continuaron haciendo cosas que él no gustó. So God spoke to Moses and told him to take a brazen serpent, that's a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole and lift the pole high in the air so that those bitten could see it. How do we say brass in Spanish? Anybody? Anybody out there? How do you say brass? Brasa? Okay. Dios dio un mandamiento a Moisés, su sirviente, para creer y fabricar una serpiente de bronce. Era una metal, y cuando él lo hizo, le dio mandamiento a ponerle en una palo. Y cuando los obreros miraron a ese serpiente de bronce y por fe creyeron en Dios respondiendo a ese mensaje, cualquier vio a la serpiente de bronce, el Señor los salvaron y lo ayudó en curándolos de sus enfermedades. Y cuando los serpientes lo mordieron, él los curó supernaturalmente porque creyeron por fe en lo que Moisés los mandó hacer. So whosoever would look upon that serpent would live. They were saved when they believed God enough to obey his instructions. So in John 3, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that the serpent on the pole was a picture of himself. He would die on the cross for all men so that anyone who would look to him by faith, though he had been bitten by the stinging serpent of sin, could still live. Not only does the Lord Jesus Christ teach this, but by so doing, he testifies to the fact that the Old Testament book of Numbers is the truth. According to Jesus, it is indeed the very word of God. So, igualmente como el Señor hizo eso en los tiempos antes por el pueblo de Israel, era una... how do you guys say illustration or picture? Anybody? De lo que el Señor Jesucristo también iba a hacer en lo mismo cuando él murió en la cruz. En la misma manera, los que miraban a él y creían por fe en él, el Señor Jehová los salvó. Entonces, hay muchas profecías y hay muchas... eventos o cosas que pasaron en el testamento antiguo que eran foreshadowing, anybody out there, foreshadowing, que eran presagiar a los tiempos en el futuro cuando Cristo también hizo lo mismo en su persona en varios eventos o circunstancias. Entonces era una ilustración en lo que el Señor Jesucristo iba a ser por todo el mundo. Entonces, aquí había una serpiente de bronce que Moisés hizo. Hebreos, si quieren ser salvos de Jehová y quieren recibir el perdón, necesitan, si quieren ser sanos en sus cuerpos, necesitan creer en esta serpiente y por fe mirar a él. Todo el mundo hoy, judíos y gentiles, no importa si somos mexicanos, de China, de África, si quieren ser salvos y si quieren ser sanas en las almas, perdonar o perdón de los pecados, necesitamos creer en su Hijo que murió en la cruz, ¿ok? Ok, let's go to Matthew 22. Vamos al Mateo capítulo 22. Entonces, lo que estamos aprendiendo hoy, cuando Jesucristo refirió a un libro del testigo antiguo, él confirmó la autoridad de la palabra de Dios, que esas cosas pasaron literalmente. Es muy importante saber eso. What we're learning, church, is whenever Jesus Christ quoted or referred to an Old Testament verse or book or anything from the Old Testament, he was verifying the authority and the actual literal truths of authenticated those events. In other words, they were literally true. Okay, Matthew 22, let's read from verse 30 through 22. Mateo 22, 30 al 32. The Bible says, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Dice en versículo 30, porque en la resurrección ni se casan ni se dan en casamiento, mas son como los ángeles de Dios en el cielo. Y de la resurrección de los muertos, ¿no habéis leído lo que es dicho por Dios a vosotros, que dice, yo soy el Dios de Abraham, y el Dios de Isaac, y el Dios de Jacob? Dios no es Dios de los muertos, sino de los vivos. So there are those who did not believe in a literal, physical, bodily resurrection. Había muchos en esos tiempos de Cristo que no creyeron literalmente y físicamente que había o en el futuro el Señor iba a resurrectar los cuerpos de hombres, de seres humanos. The Lord Jesus Christ told them that they were wrong. El Señor los enseñó que ellos estaban en error por no creyendo literalmente lo que Dios dijo. He said that there would indeed be a physical, literal resurrection, not a reincarnation and not a transcendence into the spirit world, but a literal rising of the body from the dead to face God at the judgment. How do we say reincarnation? Anybody out there? That's important to understand. You know, I want to get that across. Anybody know? Reincarnation, because that's very important. Okay. Jesucristo enseñó que los seres humanos un día, Dios, el creador de todo, y va a levantar o resucitar los cuerpos de todos para el día del juicio, cuando Dios va a juzgar a ellos en el futuro. No hay lo que muchas religiones enseñan hoy, cosas como reencarnación, ¿verdad? Porque hay muchas religiones, por ejemplo, de India y de otras partes y otros países que enseñan por sus culturas y sus religiones que cuando un ser humano muere, su espíritu más regresa al universo en varias formas, energía o cual cosa. No, Jesucristo no enseña eso, la Biblia no enseña eso. There are many, many religions of this world who teach in something called reincarnation, that if you die, your spirit just comes back in another form, in energy or in a creature, but that's not the case. One day, every soul is going to be resurrected with their body for a future judgment. Un día, todas las almas del ser humano, el Señor lo va a levantar de los muertos y va a unir la alma con el cuerpo para el día cuando Dios los va a juzgar. Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ state this and prove it by appealing to the Old Testament scriptures, but in so doing, he testified to the truth of the book of Exodus. Entonces, cuando Jesucristo hizo referencia o enseñó por referendo de las escrituras del libro de Éxodo, él estaba testificando que eso era la palabra y la autoridad de Dios. Entonces, Éxodo es la palabra de Dios. Throughout all the centuries of Christianity, scholars and critics have attacked the second book of the Bible. In the book of Exodus, we read of the Passover lamb and its blood being shed as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for our salvation. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 5. We read of the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea, a picture of our baptism, 1 Corinthians 10. We read in the book of Exodus of God giving his laws, rules, and commandments to men. Hay muchos que quieren criticar la Biblia por enseñando que los libros del Testamento Antiguo no eran literalmente la revelación, la revelación de Dios de que le dio a Moisés o las profetas de Israel. Pero hay muchos, how do we say again, pictures, anybody out there? How do we say that in the meaning though? Like it's a picture of Christ. How do we translate? Yeah, so lo que el hermano Giovanni dijo que muchas cosas que leemos en el libro de Éxodos o Génesis eran ilustraciones que iba, ¿cómo se dice? Completar o el Señor Jesucristo en su persona. How would we say he would fulfill that? Anybody? He would fulfill that. Anybody? Él cumpliría eso en su persona. So let's keep moving along. We'll keep trying our best. In Matthew 19, Jesus is once again dealing with the Pharisees. Vamos al libro de Mateo, capítulo 19. Mateo, capítulo 19. Let's go there real quick. Y mira lo que dice en versículo 3 y 4. Let's look at what the Lord says in Matthew 19, verse 3 and 4. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Dijo de Jesús, aquí en versículo 3, y vinieron a él los fariseos, tendándole y diciéndole, ¿es lícito al hombre repudiar a su esposa por cualquiera causa? Y él respondió, les dijo, ¿no habéis leído que él que los hizo al principio, varón y hembra los hizo? That's very important for us to understand today. Here, Jesus not only testifies that evolution is a lie, but that as the creator of man, he testifies that the book of Genesis is true. Cuando Jesucristo da referencia al libro de Génesis, primer libro de la Biblia, él testificó que solamente hay dos, genders? Genders. Or do we say sexes? How do we translate that over? There is a word. Anybody out there? Okay. Solamente hay dos géneros. Hay el hombre y hay el mujer. El varón y hembra. Hay muchos que están enseñando hoy en las escuelas públicas por sus ciencias falsas que quieren también introducir a nuestros niños desde chiquillo que hay una forma de ciencia que se llama evolución, que el ser humano empezó de una gérmena adentro de la agua y con millones de años se empezó a crecer a un, ¿cómo se dice? How do you say monkey? Chango y todo eso. ¿Has escuchado eso de los peces y todo eso? Pero Dios dice aquí que Él creó lo primer hombre y la primera hembra. El primer varón y la primera hembra. Los hizo en el principio y cuando Él los unió en matrimonio, eso era la fundación para todos en como el Señor o el Creador del universo. Era esa su voluntad para todos seres humanos unirse así después o siguiendo su forma de relación. So Jesus Christ says that in the beginning, God created them male and female. That's very important for you young people because in your public school, they're going to teach you a science called evolution. That's not true. You guys already heard about it, that you started as a little germ, a little fish, and then a little, you know, monkey arm came out somewhere, all that. It's not true. But what they're trying to do is teach you that there is no God to tell you how to live. So he created two sexes, two genders, male and female. You're a biological male and you're a biological female. There's neither other of the two. And so that's the purpose of holy matrimony, that is marriage that God instituted from the beginning of the world. Homosexuality is a sin, and obviously having relations outside of marriage is a sin. So he wants man and woman to get married. And even if they're not a born-again Christian, they're still following in that fundamental, if you will, foundational example of the tradition of the marriage, if you will, that unit that God established, man and woman coming together and then having children. That's the foundation purpose. So here we have Genesis, which is attacked by a lot of people and maligned by a lot of people, but it's not by Jesus. According to the Lord, Genesis is indeed the pure and perfect word of God and is to be trusted, including the very earliest chapters which detail and record God's creation of the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. Our world is filled with religious people who hate the true God. Our churches and seminaries are filled with religious educators, teachers, preachers, ministers, prophets, priests, and evangelists who would call God a liar as quick as they would call their mama mother. Beloved, these people attack the book of Genesis. They say it is a lie. They call it a myth. They regard it as a moral fairy tale. It is accused of being an invention of Moses or some other man. But Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, said the book of Genesis was true. He held it to be right and rebuked the religious leaders of his day for not having read and believed it because of the hardness of their hearts. So, Jesucristo era Dios manifestado en el carne. Cuando él testificó del primer libro de la Biblia, Génesis, él dio su autoridad confirmando que era la palabra de Dios, literalmente. Hay muchos que quieren atacar la fe de los cristianos y también de los judíos porque dicen que el primer libro de la Biblia era una fábrica o una invención de Moisés o esas gentes, los hebreos. Pero Jesucristo dijo que era la palabra de Dios. Eso es importante. Si nosotros no podemos creer el primer libro de la Biblia, todo de lo más no lo podemos creer. If we don't believe the very first book of the Bible, then we cannot believe the rest of the Bible. You cannot have Jesus Christ if you don't believe in Genesis. You cannot believe in the flood of Noah and all the judgment to come if you first don't believe the book of Genesis is the word of God. So, si no creemos primeramente que el libro de Génesis es la palabra de Dios, es autoridad, nosotros no podemos aceptar todo lo más si no empezamos con el primer libro de la Biblia. Mira lo que dice Mateo 19. Let's look at Matthew 19, verse number 8. Let's see what Jesus said concerning these people who want to argue against the authority of the Bible. And today, there are many like that. There are many like that. You know who they are. Sometimes you may allow yourself to get there too when you walk after the flesh and not after the spirit. When you see the Bible tell you something very clearly and you want to argue against it within your conscience to say, nah, I'm just here to help you in love. Here is their problem. Here is our problem. This is a universal man problem. Matthew 19, verse number 8. Mateo 19, versículo 8. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered ye to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Y yo os
digo que cualquiera que repudiare a su esposa, si no fuere por causa de fornicación y si casare.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, verse number 8. Versículo 8.
Díceles, por la dureza de vuestro corazón, Moisés os permitió repudiar a vuestras esposas, mas al principio no fue así.
So there's a lot of things that men want to do because of the hardness of their heart. They want to try to escape what God expects them on how to live and how to respond to situations when they happen in life. So what do we have to do? We need to consult God's word on the right thing that we should do versus asking a family member or friend who may not be a believer in God so we can do the right thing. Hay muchos problemas que vienen en la vida y como creyentes en Dios, cuando problemas vienen, a veces primeramente queremos ir y preguntar a una de familia o amigos que no son creyentes en qué debemos hacer con esta situación. Pero a veces y mucho de lo tiempo, nomás es nuestro corazón que se pone duerza. Y no queremos estar abajo de la Biblia para la Biblia nos enseña la correcta cosa para hacer en respondiendo a las situaciones que viene en la vida.
So the best thing that you could do today, friend, is just trust God. Let God instruct you. And if he tells you you're wrong, then you're wrong. And then do the right thing so you could be right.
La mejor cosa que podemos hacer es cuando la Biblia nos enseña una cosa que estamos en error, ponte en acuerdo con él y déjalo que él te corrige y luego a lo mejor. That's all we can do.
Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Almost done. Matthew 12. Ya casi terminamos. Mateo capítulo 12. We're just going to read a few more. Vamos a versículo 38. Let's go to verse 38, Matthew 12. And let's go ahead and continue to read here. We're just going to finish up with this last reference. Matthew 12, verse number 38.
Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Entonces, versículo 38, respondieron ciertos de los escribas y de los fariseos, diciendo, Maestro, deseamos ver de ti señal. Mas él respondió y les dijo, La generación mala y adultera demanda señal, mas señal no le mala o no no le será dada, sino la señal de Jonás, el profeta. Porque como estuvo Jonás en el vientre de la ballena 3 días y 3 noches, así estará el Hijo del Hombre en el corazón de la tierra 3 días y 3 noches. Los varones de Nínive se levantarán en juicio con esta generación y la condenarán, porque ellos se arrepintieron a la predicación de Jonás, y aquí uno mayor que Jonas en este lugar.
So as we close, here's what Jesus is affirming. He is affirming that a man named Jonah literally was swallowed up by a fish prepared to swallow Jonah up for the purpose of him, if you will, being a preacher to the Ninevites concerning judgment to come. And that is an illustration or a picture of what Jesus Christ would do for the whole world. He will go down into the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights, just like Jonah was in that belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. If Jonah's story wasn't literally true,
then Jesus's would not become literally true. So that's why it's important for us to understand, if Jesus authorizes an Old Testament book or letter or a word or a reference, it's the Word of God. If the apostles refer to it, it's the Word of God. And if they don't, then it's not. Just like the Apocrypha, that's nowhere quoted in the New Testament. There are a lot of Catholic Bibles that still include it and others out there that want to read it, but it's not Scripture. It's not Scripture. So that's one more thing that we'll just leave you with. Entonces, antes que cerramos, cuando Jesús refirió a Jonás, una profeta de Israel, él literalmente murió cuando la, ¿cómo se dice en español? How do you say that whale again? La ballena lo comió, lo tragó 3 días y 3 noches. Él estaba dentro de la ballena. Eso es una ilustración, otra vez, de Jesucristo en el futuro que él iba a cumplir en su persona cuando después murió en la cruz. Él fue adentro de la tierra por 3 días y 3 noches. Entonces, si no podemos leer el testigo antiguo, literalmente que eso fuera la palabra de Dios, no vamos a poder también aceptar el Nuevo Testamento hablando de Dios y cosas así. So let's go ahead and leave it there. What are we talking about? Just establishing the understanding that if Jesus or the New Testament apostles refer to things in the Old Testament, it is the Word of God. They are just affirming the authority of it. Hope that was a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for the Sunday School Hour. Help us now to be prepared for the Sunday service, and help all of our members now be ready to receive any person that comes to those doors. We pray for visitors to come and returning visitors. Help us have joy, love, and fellowship today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, the Lord bless you. I'm going to get some coffee.